Good morning, everybody. Continuing with our study of Acts, we're in Acts chapter 13. All of the verses will be up on the screen. Use a phrase and they'll say, fake it until you make it, right? I mean, that's supposed to do it, so fake it and eventually it'll all work out. That's not really how the Bible looks at things. Jesus says that when it comes to murder, he looks at our hearts and knows if we are angry with others without cause, and he says, you have a murderous heart. He knows if we look at somebody with lustful thoughts, he says, well, maybe you didn't physically commit adultery, but you have sin in your heart. Jesus is interested. And so heart change involves the Holy Spirit changing us. Heart change results in outward change. And that's a little bit of what we're going to look at today, because the Jewish people were hearing the gospel over and over again, and yet they were not receiving it. They were not obeying it. They were not responding to it. They were not trusting in it. And I was thinking, how many times have you and I sat and heard the same things from God, and there's been no change of our hearts, right? That happens. That happens for unbelievers. Sometimes hear the gospel over and over again, and they never cross from unbelief to belief. Christians, they have the Spirit of God working in them and showing them something about their lives, and yet we can be stubborn, we can be proud, we can be loving the wrong things. We can have what the Bible calls idols in our heart, where we're worshiping the wrong thing. And so today, as we hear again, we want to make this a day of response. We want to make this a day of allowing the Spirit of God to change us. Well, where we left off last week, we were in the midst of a sermon from the Apostle Paul, where he was reminding the Jewish people that they used to be slaves in a place called what? Egypt, very good. And that through the Passover and through the Exodus, he had led them out of the land and brought them to the promised land. So he was reminding them of their past. God took care of you. God provided for you. God led you out of slavery. He was reminding them of the glories of King David and how there was always going to be a king as a descendant of David who was supposed to take care of the Jewish people. Now, the problem was that king was Jesus, and they were rejecting him. But he reminded them about the Exodus, the Passover, about slavery. He reminded them about King David. He reminded them that John the Baptist had come on the scene and had prepared the way for Jesus. And he reminded them of how many Old Testament verses prophesied about the coming of the Messiah, of the Savior. And then he preached about the resurrection and showed them that everything that God had promised in the Old Testament had been fulfilled, and yet he could tell they weren't getting it. They were not moving from unbelief to belief. They were not moving from unacceptance to acceptance. And so here's where we left off last week in verse 41. Not very nice words to them. He says, "Look, you scoffers." A scoffer is somebody who should believe but makes fun of what they should believe. "Look, you scoffers, marvel and vanish away." Just get out of here, was kind of what he was saying. "Because I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will never believe, even if someone were to explain it to you." And so this was Paul sort of summarizing the response of most of the Jews. The ones who were prepared to hear about Jesus were rejecting him. And now we're going to find out what God tells Paul to do as a result of that. So let me pray for us. And Lord, would you help us to hear from your Spirit today through your word? Oh Lord, help us not to be stubborn hearts, but hearts that want to yield to what your Spirit is doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Verses 42 and 43 is where we'll pick up today. And it says, "As they were leaving, the people urged them to speak about these matters the following Sabbath." So there were some who had heard the sermon who were really interested in it. They liked what Paul had to say, or they were curious about what Paul had to say, and they wanted to hear more. So that they said, hey, come back. Come back next Sabbath. Let's do the same thing all over again. We want to hear some more. But after the synagogue had been dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who were speaking with them and urging them to continue in the grace of God. So the ones who were responding well to the message, they were following Paul and they were having a conversation with them. It was the Sabbath day, which in Jewish religion is what day of the week? Saturday. All right, so it was Saturday, very good. And because the Jews were scattered through different parts of the Roman Empire, what they had done is they had created synagogues or places of worship where they could gather together if they had enough Jews in that town or in that city. And that was the place they would gather on a Saturday, and they would listen to somebody read the scriptures, and somebody would give them a message, and they would do some singing often. Gathered at the synagogue, it says that there were two groups there. There were Jews. The second group, devout converts to Judaism. This means there were Gentiles, non-Jews, who had heard about the God of Israel, and they had begun to follow him. And they were there worshiping with the Jews. They were there to hear from Paul with the Jews. And it says that there was some kind of grace of God in their lives. Now, we don't know if this means that the group that was talking to Paul had already come to faith, that they had already moved from spiritual death to spiritual life, or it could mean that grace was working in their lives because God was allowing them to hear truth, and he was stirring up their hearts, and he was giving them the opportunity to believe. We're not sure from how it's phrased exactly what was going on, but we know that this group had heard truth again and again. They had heard truth from the Old Testament. They had been told that them, and they had to choose whether to respond or not. Now, I'm hoping the same thing's going on in every heart and mind in here this morning. I hope that you're listening to the truth from God's Word. I hope that the Spirit is working in your heart. I hope that you've heard the truth of the gospel again and again. And I hope most of all that every one of us responds, that we're not stubborn, we're not proud, that we understand that we have been spiritually blind and we need our eyes open. The Bible says we have been spiritually dead and we need the Spirit to take our heart and turn it from a heart of stone to a new heart. Now, if inside of you, I like to every once in a while with our granddaughter, you know, we'll take the little plastic medical equipment and show her how to listen to her heart and those kinds of things. So if your heart is made of stone, it ain't going to beat, right? There's not going to be any sound coming through that stethoscope, and you're not going to last. That's not going to work. And God said that his people had hearts of stone spiritually. There was no life in them, and they needed the Spirit of God to do a work inside and create a new heart. The problem is human beings don't like to be told what to do, even by God, right? I mean, how many of us have thought or said, don't tell me what to do? Now, we're not usually so bold as to yell at God and say, God, don't tell me what to do. But that can be the attitude of our hearts. And many of us have come up with our own ways of trying to fix our lives, our own ways to make our life right with God. And the book of Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to human beings, but it's the way of death. When we come up with our own solution for our sins, we stay in our spiritual death. But when we turn to Jesus Christ as our only hope for salvation, the Spirit of God is able to move us from spiritual death to spiritual life. Growing in the Lord is a lifelong process. The Bible says we won't be like him until we see him as he is. We won't be like him till the day he returns or the day we die and go to be with him. So growth is a spiritual process. It will never end. If you're 90, you still need to grow in the Lord. If you're 18, you still need to grow in the Lord. It will never end, but moving from spiritual death to spiritual life happens in an instant. Something happens in our heart where the Spirit stirs and we believe and we trust and we depend on the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, and our hearts of stone turned to hearts of flesh. Now, sometimes that happens and we don't even know it's happened yet. We just find, my attitude's changed. I'm trying to do some things right that I didn't care about the day before. And other times we are making a clear-cut decision to trust and to move from death to life. But that's what we want to see today. We want to see our hearts in cooperation with the Spirit. So these people are following Paul. They want him to come back. God is working in their hearts. We don't know if they've crossed from death to life or they're just considering, but they're on the right side of this story. They want to hear more, okay? But then in verses 44 and 45, it says, "The following Sabbath, almost the whole town assembled to hear the word of the Lord." Could you imagine your whole town or the whole city or the whole neighborhood, 20-some thousand people in downtown Cleveland all came over here and they're trying to get in here. They want to hear the message. Maybe we've got microphones outside or we send somebody else over to Perk Park to do some preaching and just everybody wants to hear. That would be an amazing, amazing experience. But when the Jews saw the crowd, and the Jews that he's talking about here, these are the religious leaders of the Jewish people and their followers. When they saw the crowds, notice what it says. They were filled with jealousy. Everybody's listening to these Jesus followers. They're not listening to us. They're filling the whole synagogue. We can only get this many people to come. There is jealousy. And they began to contradict what Paul was saying, insulting him. So, whereas the week before you had a group who wanted them to come back, this group is trying to run him off. They're trying to run him out of town. They don't want to hear from him anymore. Because, see, to be a religious leader in the Jewish culture of that day, we hear names in the scriptures like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And these religious leaders had power. Some of them had wealth. They had control. People looked up to them. They got to make decisions. They got to tell people what to do. They were proud. They liked the position that they had, and they were looking at the teachings of Jesus and realized that's not the kind of leader Jesus uses. Jesus says if you want to lead people, be their servants. If you want to lead people, love them. Okay, and so these religious leaders were, they were upset, they were jealous. Now, think about a Sunday morning at City View. If you come in here at 8:30 and you stick around through the service and maybe through second hour, you're going to notice that people come in here for all kinds of different reasons. All right, some come in for reasons and they might hang out and they might even say thank you, but they are completely indifferent to the gospel message. They don't care if we read the Bible or not. They don't care if we sing or not. They're not looking to hear the gospel. Like they may not be against it, but they don't care about it either way, right? Others, maybe they've come 10 times and they were indifferent, and this is the first Sunday that they're tuning in because they've gotten curious. So sometimes we've got people sitting here and they're just curious. They're not sure what the gospel message is. They're not sure what this church is teaching. And so there's some curiosity-filled individuals. There are some who've been here and again, but they're not there yet. They're just not sure. Not sure of this or that or the other thing. Now, some who sit here on Sunday mornings, they've crossed from death to life and they're all in. 100%. I'm trying to follow Jesus. I mess up. I do this, I do that. I think this, I think that. But Lord, you have saved me and I'm not turning back. And so there's all kinds of people every Sunday here, just like there were different kinds of people there. And yet the Spirit is at work. And the Spirit, the Bible says, is like the wind. If I ask you to each take a piece of paper and I gave you some coloring books and I said, and there was a blank page in the coloring book and I said, I want you to draw a picture of the wind. What problem would you have? The wind is what? It's indivisible. Yeah, indivisible. It's invisible. Yeah. You can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind is doing. Like some days in Cleveland, the wind's turning your umbrella inside out. Now, this doesn't happen to me anymore, but some of you, when the wind blows, it blows your hair. It doesn't do that to me. I don't have to worry about that one. It blows the trash around. It might blow your door open. We opened some windows in our house yesterday just to, you know, air it out and cool it off, and it blew all the pictures off my bookshelf. You know, blew them onto the floor. But you can't draw a picture of the wind because you can't see it. You can only see where the wind was when you notice its effects. And Jesus says that's what the Holy Spirit is like. We can't see where the Holy Spirit's working. I might be looking at one of you and saying, oh, wow, they are so close to believing the gospel. I just know they're going to trust Jesus and they're going to walk with him the rest of their lives. And I might look at somebody else and say, oh, my, I don't think there's any hope of them believing. And yet the Spirit is at work invisibly in everyone's life. And so it doesn't matter what look we have on the face on the outside or whether we've put on our church face for the day and are acting all good and holy. There's an invisible work that must be done in each of our hearts today and every time we come under the hearing of the Word of God. In verses 46 and 47, the Jews have stirred up trouble. They are rejecting Paul and Barnabas. And so now it's time for Paul and Barnabas to respond. And this is going to be a turning point in the book of Acts. That's why in your bulletin and when Pastor Jesse was reading, he used those words, turning point. We've been looking forward to Acts 1:8, where it said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. The last couple of months, we've seen little introductions into the ends of the earth. This person believes, or that person believes, or maybe Paul talked to these Gentiles. But today we're going to see the part of the book of Acts where the whole focus of the New Testament changes. The whole mission of the early church changes. Paul and Barnabas, if you follow along, boldly replied, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first." Remember, Paul's given that whole sermon to the Jews about how God took care of them in Egypt, brought them out of slavery, brought them to the promised land, gave them a king, took care of them, gave them the scriptures, gave them promises of the Messiah. And he's saying, so we needed to give you one more shot. We needed to preach it to you one more time. Since you reject it and you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Oh my, this is a horrifying, it's a horrifying expression. It's a horrifying phrase. They have so hardened their hearts against the Lord Jesus Christ that they have acted unworthy of eternal life. They consider themselves unworthy of eternal life. Jesus is saying they have not turned to him, or Paul's saying you have not turned to Jesus. And if you don't turn to Jesus, there is no hope for you. There is only judgment. There is only condemnation. So what does Paul say? What does Barnabas say? We are turning to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. God had kept every one of his promises to the Jews, and yet, for the most part, the Jewish nation at the time that Jesus came, at the time that the early church was forming, they rejected him. They rejected the gospel. They stood in judgment. And where does rejection of the gospel lead? Rejection leads to condemnation. It leads to hopelessness. And yet, this quote, God had made some other promises. He had promised way back in the book of from the book of Isaiah, where God was promising way back in the Old Testament that he the gospel. And that's really good news for most of us in this room. We've come from different backgrounds. Some of us have come from cities. Some of us have come from the country. We're called Gentiles. And yet the gospel has come to us. We're hearing it today. We're being reminded today that we are dead. Many times you've rejected them. Maybe God is reminding you of particular sinful patterns in your life that you know do not please Him. And what He is saying to each one of us in the room is there is forgiveness available because Jesus already died for those sins. Not only is there forgiveness available, there is power to move in a different direction. Okay? It's a direction. It's not perfection. All right? But it's a new direction. It's a new way of living. And He makes it possible to us today. And so we're going to do something a little different. We still have another half of the sermon to go. But I want you just to pause for a second. We're just going to take a moment of private heart examination. Take a moment of just private prayer. And I want you to consider, am I trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Am I letting the Spirit of God move me from death to life? I'm not going to embarrass anybody, ask any questions, but I want to give you a moment to just pray. And so close your eyes and we'll just pause for about 20 seconds. And Lord, help us to consider whether we're trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. We'll come back to that again at the end. But let's finish out the passage. Let's see what else God has for us here. Verses 48 through 51, when the Gentiles heard this, they rejoiced and they honored the word of the Lord, and all who had been appointed to eternal life believed. The Spirit was working in Gentile hearts. They heard the gospel. Many of them responded. Many of them United States of America terms, if you're listening to religious TV, they became born again. They believed. They were saved, all right? The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the prominent God-fearing women and the leading men of the city, the ones who had power, the ones who had property, the ones who had wealth, okay? The ones who had control and influence, they were disbelieving. And so they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the district. They kicked Paul out. They kicked Barnabas out. You can't preach here anymore. You can't even be in our town. But Paul and Barnabas shook the dust of their feet off against them and went on to Iconium. This is an Old Testament way. If this is like a way of insulting. This is a way of showing what you really think of a place. This was kind of a way a prophet or somebody who was preaching from God in Old Testament days, if they rejected God's message, you didn't even want the dust of their town on your feet. You didn't even want their dirt. And so Paul and Barnabas brush the dirt off their feet, and they go on to Iconium to continue their work. Does persecution happen today? Doesn't happen a lot in the United States. We get our feelings hurt now and again. Somebody might say something mean about us or frown at us. But there are, brothers and sisters here from India who gather with us out in that room every Wednesday. And one of the things we often do is we pray for situations in India where there is persecution. I'm going to share a couple things with you in just a minute. But the next slide, what is this passage telling us? First was come to Jesus, all right? We've been there, spent a lot of time on that. But then secondly, identify with the persecuted church. We, as ones who are not being persecuted, have opportunities at times to give to those who are being persecuted. We have opportunities to pray for those who are being persecuted. We have the opportunity at times to partner with them in different ways. I want to just read you, I just picked the first three stories that I got emailed about this week, all right? Persecution goes on every week all across the world. I didn't even go through and pick out the best or the worst ones. I just picked three that came into my inbox this week. From Central India, the minister of one of the states in Central India has recommended the death penalty for those who force conversion on somebody else. Now, Do we believe in forcing people to believe in Jesus? No, you can't force somebody to believe. It's not God's way. God's way is we present the truth, we show the truth, and we let God work. And we love people whether they respond or not. So true Christians are not forcing conversion on anybody. And the Indian Christians are not forcing conversion on anybody. But because this law is on the books that says that you can go to jail, that you can have your property taken, and now you could even be executed, there are officials in India who do not like Christianity who will use this as an excuse to say, oh, I heard you preaching that gospel. You were trying to force people to believe, and they will try to put them to death. And it goes on and talks about a school teacher in India who became a believer and began planting churches throughout India. His own father turned against him because of differences in religion. He's already been put in jail. He's lost his inheritance. He's lost his job. He's been put in jail again. Okay, this is routine in parts of the world like India for following Jesus. Let me read you. The second one comes from a nation in Africa called the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the DRC. The lady's name is Divine Grace. That's quite a name, right? Man, we all need some divine grace, but that's her name. And she was in a church during a prayer meeting where those in her country who do not like the gospel, they came, they fired guns, they rounded up the Christians, they put them in the church, and they set the church on fire. When she was found in the rubble afterwards, she was rushed to the nearest medical center. 48% of her body, from her chin to below her waist, covered with burns. She survived. Her family was lost in this fire. Another believer decided just to care for her, said, I feel like if this was my child, I would want somebody else to care for my child if they were in this state. And so I'm going to take care of this one. While enduring the loss of her parents, 6 surgeries, and countless hours of painful wound care and physical therapy, Divine has found strength in the Lord. During her hospitalization, she joined chapel services to pray every morning. And every day that she could, she sang worship songs. Persecution in Africa. One more. When Michelle, a college student, refused to participate in voodoo ritual, which was the religion of her family abused and rejected her. In March of 2025, just a few months ago, she was at church. Her family members came to the church and urged her to come home. Not knowing what they wanted, she left with them. And when she got to the house, she found her father performing an occult ritual with a voodoo leader. The leader held a blade covered with an allegedly magic power to drive away a spirit of death. He wanted to cut her with it. The rest of the family had given in to the ritual, but Michelle refused. She ran to her pastor's wife for counsel. When she returned home, her father told her she was no longer his daughter. He would no longer pay her living expenses. He beat her, and he forbade her from attending church. Church leaders request prayers that her family will turn to Christ and that she will have faith and wisdom. And I could go on and read others. But, you know, sometimes people dislike us as Christians because we haven't lived out Christianity very well. We haven't been as loving as we ought to. We haven't been as kind as we ought to. We haven't extended grace as we ought to. But there are other times where the rejection is the rejection of Jesus, and we just get in the way as human beings. And so we need to be praying about these situations when we hear them. We need to be even coming together on Wednesdays. If you're not one who joins us from 4 to 5, come. Join in the prayers. Pray for those around the world who are in this situation. And then our third application as we finish out the passage today from verse 52. They get kicked out of the city, and they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. They were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Are we more likely to be joyful when everything's going the way we want it to go, or when everything's going the way we don't want it to go? Right? We're more likely to be happy when our circumstances are what we wish they would be. But so often in the scriptures, those who draw close to God in the power of His Spirit are filled with an unnatural joy, a supernatural joy of the Holy Spirit, even when things don't go the way that they ought to. And sometimes it's because we need biblical perspective. We need to understand that when this world was created, our God said that it was very, very what? It's good. There was no pain. There was no suffering. There were no broken relationships or anger until human beings decided to do it our own way. Until we rejected the way of the Lord and fell into sin, and now our relationship with each other's messed up. Our relationship with our own insides is messed up. Our relationship with God is messed up. Our relationship with creation is messed up. And what that leaves us with is many, many days where it just doesn't feel right inside. And yet, for those who are in Christ Jesus, we also know the promises of God that if I die 5 minutes from now, I am absent from the body and present with who? With the Lord. And we hear the promise of Revelation that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be no more tears and no more mourning and no more death and no more sin and no more suffering. And you know when we get to live? We get to live in the in-between times where there's blessings and there's curses. There's good times and there's bad. There's joys and there's suffering, and yet part of what the Spirit wants to do in our hearts today is help us just to move in that direction of joy that looks beyond the circumstances to the one who promises to believe what He says. Well, let's wrap this up and pray this morning. But I'd encourage you, if you know that today is the day where the Spirit of God is pushing you and prompting you to move from death to life, to take that step of belief, that's a great thing to talk to one of the pastors about after prayer time. Just tell them. Just say, I'm not sure I understand this gospel, but I need to move from death to life. Can you help me? Can you explain it one more time? You'd make every one of our days today. Lord Jesus, help us. Thank You that You died for us and that Your gospel message is so wonderfully and gloriously available to us, that Your Spirit has allowed us to hear it again. Lord, thank You for our brothers and sisters in Christ who live in hard places, who go through persecution. Oh, would part of what You do in our hearts is stir up a love and a compassion and a partnership with them. And then, Lord, as we look at our own circumstances, will You help us by Your Spirit to look beyond what today's like and trust You even more for what You've promised. Fill us with a supernatural joy that we can only get by relying upon You. In Your name we pray. Amen.